into the house wing of the Capitol. Barricades have been placed in the corridors leading to the house side of the building and at the entrances and exits of the house wing. Guards have orders to permit no one to pass unless he has special credentials. Special passes will be required even of all news and radio reporters and employees of the house. The Metropolitan Police Department will send 175 men to the Capitol at noon to augment the 150 members of the Special Capitol Police. In addition, the usual elaborate Secret Service detail that accompanies the president will be present. Trouble is reported to have broken out in Romania. A Bucharest radio announcement picked up in Hungary says Romanian Premier Călinescu has been assassinated. Telephone connections between Budapest and Bucharest have been cut. There is no further direct information, but here in Washington, the Romanian legation has an unconfirmed report that two or more of the Premier's assistants also were killed. The legation understands, but this is also unofficial, that the assassins were members of the outlawed fascist Iron Guard. This is a group with German sympathies. Meanwhile, the Western Front is quiet, but there's furious activity behind the lines. Britain, France, and Germany are moving up men and materials for a long and grueling siege. France announces that her general mobilization is complete. 6 million well-drilled men are now under arms, either at concentration points or at battle stations. This vast army is being steadily increased by British arrivals. British artillery already is at the front. British and French warplanes dot the landscape with every level pasture and aerodrome. In the no-man's land between advance lines, cautious feeler operations are underway. The French report local activity plus artillery action on both sides. And on the other side of the Rhine, a westward migration of German troops, tanks, and warplanes is being speeded. The Germans say Poland's army has been destroyed, and Nazi troops are being shifted to the west. The Allies are worried by rumors of Nazi military preparations in the Aix-la-Chapelle district near Belgium and the Netherlands. They apparently fear that a Nazi thrust through these neutral nations may be made. But in Berlin, German propaganda minister Goebbels indignantly denies this as a, quote, British lie, unquote. Goebbels insists the Reich never has had any intention to violate Dutch and Belgian neutrality. Goebbels also denies British reports of an uprising in what used to be Czechoslovakia. London stands behind its story, but Czech sources say the rebellion is dying down, although there still is trouble in some rural areas. On the high seas, German submarines have struck again. The freighter Kensington Court has been sunk. Its crew of 34 was rescued by British Royal Air Force planes. The British failed to get the undersea raider, but there are indications that the British did attack a submarine off Dover. Some believe that the heavy firing heard in the Straits of Kattegat off Denmark yesterday may have been a British attack on Nazi submarines, but this is wholly unofficial. Poland's position becomes increasingly precarious, but Polish troops are still holding out. Warsaw radio reports that the capital's defenders have counterattacked, advancing 2 miles in the suburbs. The Germans admit the Poles are still fighting at Warsaw and at Lemberg or Lwów in the south. Russia, however, claims Lwów has fallen to the Soviet army, as well as Grodno in the north. Capture of Grodno sent thousands of Polish refugees streaming into Lithuania. The Russian press now admits that the Soviet advance has been fiercely resisted at points. Moscow newspapers pay tribute to what they describe as unheard of and previously unwitnessed mass heroism by the Red Army. Fortune magazine announced today that it had conducted a survey which indicated that almost two-thirds of the United States is opposed to strict isolation. The survey showed, the magazine said, that 83.1% of those surveyed want England, France, and Poland to win the war, but that 64.8% think they can win. Only 24.7% favored a complete embargo against the belligerents. The Retailers National Council said today that rapid increases in food costs would impair the nation's purchasing power. Secretary of Labor Perkins revealed that the average cost of foodstuffs increased as much as 2% during the week ending September 19th. The Agricultural Advisory Council issued a statement contending that the public need have no fear of food shortages or runaway prices as a result of the European war. It pledged its fullest cooperation in meeting problems created by the conflict. Roscoe R. Rao, president of the Retailers Council, an organization comprising 11 associations that represent more than 200,000 retail stores, said the nation's economic structure would be impaired by skyrocketing prices. The council was ready, he said, to offer its services in coordination of retailers in their efforts to safeguard the public interest. Stocks rallied on the New York Exchange today after a narrowly irregular opening. Most issues had small gains around noon. Railroad equipments were strong. Trading picked up immediately after noon, volume increased, and the whole market developed strength. How do you keep these always hungry youngsters of yours satisfied, Mother? Especially after school, when their appetites are so keen and they say, "Gee, Mom, can I have something to eat?" Well, here's a good way. Sunshine Crispy Crackers, spread with peanut butter and a glass of milk. It's delicious, as well as a nourishing combination. Children rush home from school for these old favorites. You know, children are as quick as grown-ups. Yes, even quicker sometimes, to recognize the difference in crackers. They like the extra crispness and extra flavor of Sunshine Crispy, K-R-I-S-P-Y, Sunshine Crispy Crackers. They seem to know that crispy crackers make jams, jellies, peanut butter, and milk taste better. Buy some of these spreads and a package of Sunshine Crispy Crackers at your grocer's tomorrow. Your children will love them. A recording covering a full day of broadcasting at station WJSV is going to be placed in the files of the National Archives. The special recording is being made today, and this program to which you are now listening is now being recorded and preserved for posterity. The full day's activities from the opening station announcement at 6 o'clock this morning until 1 a.m., when the Star Spangled Banner is played, will be recorded. Today was chosen for the record because history will be made in the United States this afternoon. The recording will include the opening of the extra session of Congress and President Roosevelt's speech to that body. Arrangements are also being made to include a speech by Premier Daladier, direct from France, in case President Roosevelt's speech is finished on time. The District of Columbia Commissioners are scheduled to end hearings on the 1941 budget today. They'll hear the testimony of several local officials before attacking the problem of how to cut $13 million from the requests of the department directors. The heads of the departments have requested approximately $63 million, which is $13 million more than was provided in this year's budget. Officials are looking forward to an early settlement of the district truck driver strike. Howard Colvin, Department of Labor conciliator, said today that he expected definite developments sometime this afternoon. The drivers have been on strike over a week for higher wages. Dean Noble Powell of Washington Cathedral has not yet decided whether to become Bishop of Louisiana. Yesterday, Episcopalians met in New Orleans and elected him to the bishopric of that state. Today, he had not made up his mind whether to accept or decline. Last May, he rejected a similar offer on the grounds that he had work to complete at Washington, where he is warden of the College of Preachers. The Children's Hospital drive for funds is not reaching expectations. Miss Mattie Gibson, superintendent of the hospital, reported today that the drive has reached only one-third of the amount needed to erase a $27,000 deficit. Officials said that they hope to raise several thousand dollars from the presentation of two operas at Constitution Hall on October the 2nd and 3rd. Residents of Fairfax County, Virginia, are continuing their campaign to raise funds to buy the Arlington and Fairfax Auto Railroad. The Fairfax Commuters League has already raised $3,000 toward the purchase of the abandoned railroad. Officials said that $22,000 would be needed to buy the line's property between Fairfax Courthouse and Falls Church. Another $55,000 would be needed to extend the service to Lacey, where bus connections for Washington would be made. The grade crossing at Landover, Maryland, the scene of Maryland's latest grade crossing death, will soon be replaced. Nathan L. Smith, chief engineer of the State Road Commission, has announced that plans for the bridge, which will replace the crossing, have already been completed. State officials are now taking steps to purchase land for the construction of the overpass. The latest crossing victim was James McCarron of the 3200 block of 12th Street Northeast. McCarron, the father of five children, was killed when his automobile crashed into a freight train yesterday. The Queen of the President's Cup Regatta will receive her crown tomorrow night in impressive coronation ceremonies at Haynes Point. Miss Ruth Overton, daughter of Senator John Overton, will be crowned Queen of the Water event by Edward Noble, Undersecretary of Commerce. A Coast Guard cutter will carry Miss Overton to the scene of the coronation. After she receives her crown, the new queen will review a colorful parade of boats and canoes. The climax of the ceremonies will come when a fireworks display is set off. the three-day Cup Regatta will get underway tomorrow morning when the outboard motor races take place. The American Automobile Association is going to hold its next annual meeting in Washington. It was announced today that the association would meet on November 16th and 17th with about 500 delegates attending. Mr. Russell Singer of Washington, D.C. is secretary of the association. Soldiers of yesterday are coming to the aid of soldiers of today. The American Legion announces that its members in Washington will assist the Red Cross in its annual drive for funds. Part of the money raised will be used to aid victims of the European War. Legionnaires have organized a separate roll call division and will solicit Red Cross memberships from small downtown stores. The special unit group of the Community Chest is stealing a march on other chest workers. This group of volunteers has already held its organization meeting and is ready to go to work soliciting in its particular field. Here's the weather forecast for the district and vicinity. Fair tonight and Friday. Cooler with lowest temperature about 54 degrees tonight. Slowly rising temperature Friday. Our farewell piece this afternoon concerns the ladies, bless 'em. The ladies, it seems, threaten to get the nation war-conscious if they don't watch out. At least, that's what the Chicago and Illinois Hairdressers Association says. The association's convention in Chicago yesterday adopted this resolution. We believe feminine fashions should be designed on the principle of beauty and enchantment, not as a means of propaganda to make women war conscious. We urge all hairdressers throughout the country to oppose war motifs and to ask cooperation of their patrons in refusing to wear clothes which in any way indicate a wartime fashion trend.
Don't miss the highlights of the news in Washington and vicinity as reported by Hugh Conover, your Sunshine reporter, and brought to you every afternoon, Monday through Saturday at 1 p.m. by Loose Wiles Biscuit Company, bakers of those famous crispy crackers and the new Sunshine Graham crackers that are enriched with healthful vitamins and minerals. This is Columbia Station for the nation's capital. Here is a transcribed announcement.
Here's the inside on the 1940 cars.
Best Bets Buick.
Your nearest Buick dealer is waiting to tell you all about it.
WJSV, Washington.